to NYC. What's happening, people? Pete Davidson here with the Rotobomb Podcast, a surprise Wednesday edition. I know I said I was supposed to be taking it easy today, but I don't know, man. I got an itchy trigger finger. I promise I'm going to get in the couch and get some rest when I'm done with this. That was one of my favorite obscure bands, Heat Miser, bringing us in with Collect to NYC. Heat Miser, the front man was Elliot Smith, one of my favorites. And Collect NYC, it's an outdated concept. We don't make collect phone calls anymore. I love music about outdated concepts. Today's pod is not an outdated concept. We're going to be getting into some, I mean, generally we're talking about buy lows. It's sort of a buy low pod. But I think one thing worth noting, I think buy low generally is something that we look at. It's something that good teams do. You know, you're 4-1, you're 5-0, you're 3-2, and you feel good about your team. You know, you'll go after some underperforming guys because you can afford maybe to take a loss or whatever while you wait for this guy to sort of revert back to the norm. I mean, that's good business. But I think one underestimated move can be doing that when you're down. I mean, I've done these kind of deals when I'm 1-4. Try to trade for some of these guys where I call it stored energy, guys where you know the regression is going to come back towards production. You don't need to be a good team to do buy lows, just, you know, for what it's worth. So I thought what I would do is just, I got, you know, 10 or so guys I just want to walk through here. It's a quick pod. But, you know, sometimes I feel like I do so much with waiver wire, ranking players for the week, DFS, it becomes this cycle. And, you know, Wednesdays for me, I wake up and I get into my own waiver stuff because of the 15 leagues I play in. I think 11 of them have waivers on Wednesday versus Tuesday night. So Wednesday's the day I get into my own teams a little bit, usually with my coffee. And it's funny, when I start doing that, I start thinking like a fantasy player again. I start thinking about trading and all the things I do when I'm in a very competitive mindset. To try to fix my own teams, the ones that aren't going correctly. I mean, I've got 15 teams, and right now I'd say 3 of them are problematic. So I was looking at some of those rosters and, you know, what can I do? One of them looks like it may be a lost cause, but I think 2 of them certainly can be, you know, brought back to life if I can get things to work correctly, if I can make the right moves. I've been looking at the player pool this morning, looking at some guys maybe I could target. And then it sort of hit me like, wait a minute, this is a podcast. I should just talk about these guys. So that's what I'm doing. So hopefully for some of you, this is information that is actionable or at the very least interesting to listen to. So I'm just going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 15 guys. I'm not going to go get these guys at all costs or anything like that. These are guys I'm going to kick the tires on. Talk to the team that owns some of these players, find out if they're inclined to sell, see what the price is, you know, and go from there. I'm generally a low pressure kind of dealer. You know, I just sort of, hey, what, you know, I'm interested in this guy, interested in trading him. You know, if not, I just move on. I tend to not spend a lot of time sort of banging my head against the same rock. I think that's, it's sort of a benefit, but I can't take credit for it. I mean, the reason I'm that way, I think, at this point is because I just have too many teams to get bogged down in trade negotiations, because every minute you spend on one team is a minute you can't spend on the others. You know, back when I had like 3 teams, I would sit there and like, you know, spend 5 hours trying to trade for one player, hugely inefficient, but there was no cost to pay because I didn't have any article deadlines and, you know, 20 other teams or whatever to deal with, and DFS and all that stuff. Sometimes I actually pine for the day when I used to. There was a time when I only had like 2 or 3 teams. There was no DFS. I didn't have this gig, and you could literally spend hours and hours in a day on a single team. Part of me misses those days. Anyway, so we're going to get into this now. I'm not really going to work through it in the normal order. I'm actually going to go with receivers first. So let's get into a few receivers. And then we'll talk some running backs. Now, the first guy up is Nuke, DeAndre Hopkins. This is sort of, I don't even know what you call this. I mean, I would think if you got like 100 so-called experts to, you know, go out and do a buy low show, I think 100 out of 100 would probably list DeAndre Hopkins. Now, He's playing like 97% of the snaps every week. There's no role change. The targets are coming in very steadily so far, 8, 7, 8, and 8. So the diet is normal without spikes. We haven't seen any DeAndre Hopkins spike weeks yet. So that's worth noting because clearly they're going to happen. We also haven't seen a touchdown. So I don't think there's any question that when we look at this, target regression is going to happen. And what I mean by that is he'll keep the same rough pace, but we're going to start seeing those 11 and 12, 13, 14 games happening on occasion. And the touchdowns are going to start happening. Nuke's going to end up with 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, and he has none right now. So, you know, there you go. In my opinion, that's the deal. So I would absolutely be going after Hopkins owners. And I think the thing about going after DeAndre Hopkins right now is he's a first-round draft pick. He hasn't really done much of anything. He's been letting his teams down from a performance standpoint. When I say that, I mean fantasy points scored standpoint. So there's a good chance that the teams who drafted him are not doing well. They might be 1-4, 0-5, 2-3, something like that. And they're definitely sick of looking at Hopkins, having him do nothing. Maybe this is the first year they even drafted him. They don't know what it's like to have Nuke normally. So they may actually be of a disposition to make a deal. And this is one where you can go in and sort of overpay. Give up two to get one, even if the value isn't quite what you want. As long as you've got the depth to do it, I wouldn't get hung up too much. Because this is a guy you can put in your lineup, lock him in there with the exception of the bye week, and you're done. So, you know, to me, I'm sorry, I was throwing out Nuke's first week, by the way. Sorry if anybody's sitting there going, you know, he's got two touchdowns. Yeah, Nuke had a huge first week. I'm just sort of going off the last month. But that's a reminder. That was a tough matchup against the Saints, the game he went off in. So there's really no rhyme or reason to Hopkins. He's always been sort of matchup proof. He can go off at any time. I think the time to go get this guy really was probably 2 weeks ago. But since we're lucky and it's continued, I think you go get this guy. You know, Nuke is a guy to go get. Now, if the team that drafted him is a smart team, there's probably not going to be any discount. I still think he's a good trade. Like, even if you're not getting a discount, I think he's a good guy to go after. But, you know, the ground is ripe right now. Next guy up, Robbie Anderson, another guy I've been sort of saying last couple weeks, you know, this is a guy to sort of focus on. You know, will he bust out this week? You know, that's a fair question. I don't think Robbie Anderson is about this week. As I've been saying with the Jets, it's about the rest of the season. The Jets schedule, when you get to the midpoint of the season, it really lightens up, okay? You know, this week Dallas, next week New England, then Jacksonville. I think, you know, with Sam Darnold back, Robbie Anderson's playable in all those games, probably as a third receiver flex kind of thing. But what happens, again, when we pass the midpoint, we get to week 9, Miami, the Giants, the Redskins, the Raiders, the Bengals, Miami again, you know, the Ravens in week 16, but don't forget, they've been banged up in the secondary. Who knows? They may still be banged up. And then the Steelers week 16, they may not want to win that game by that time. So the Jets second half is super sweet. Robbie Anderson is an absolutely talented player. Let's not forget that. He hasn't lost a thing. There's nothing wrong with Robbie Anderson. There's something wrong with the Jets. Part of it's the schedule. Part of it's that they're the Jets. And part of it's, you know, the Darnold thing. The schedule's going to lighten up. The Darnold thing's going to lighten up. And the Jets get to be the Jets because nobody likes to win meaningless football games more than the Jets. I mean, if the Jets lose over the second half, they might end up with a good draft pick. We can't have that. So, you know, this is... narratives work for this. You know, I think straight up analytics work for this. Film works for this. You know, and really, right now, I think in 50% of the cases, if you go kicking the tires, you're going to find that the Robbie Anderson owner is in a sell mood. Like, they're sick of this guy. I'd go get him right now. Josh Gordon hasn't really gone off yet. Now you've got an injury to Dorsett, which is going to concentrate the targets more. Don't overbuy here because Gordon always has that risk of just disappearing forever for obvious reasons. But if the Josh Gordon owner in your league is willing to sell at a discount, I'd be buying. D.D. Westbrook is another one. He's starting to come to life now. And Minshew obviously has become sort of a trustworthy quarterback. And if Minshew goes out, it'll be Foles. So I think Westbrook is a guy right now to buy before he starts really going off. Next up are the guys from Tennessee. You guys may hear a little rain falling on my skylights. Just consider that ambiance. You know, I know a lot of people are down on Corey Davis. I get it. The performance, you know, just hasn't really been there. The thing we need to know is that his role hasn't changed. He's playing in the main role. And it's not like he hasn't done, you know, anything. He's had some moments. Obviously, week four against Atlanta was good. Came back to earth with a little bit of a thud last week. But the thing we need to understand, I mean, Buffalo is just crazy good against receivers. He's had some tough matchups. He had Cleveland when the DBs were healthy week one. Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Buffalo, you know, tough cornerback matchups. And let's not forget, and this is important, Taylor Lewan finally came back last week, worked off the rust, got it on Bills Mafia and some of the Bills defensive linemen. But, you know, he's in now. And I think going forward, they can pass protect better with Lewan out there. He's a good run blocker, too. So this offense gets a real boost with Taylor Lewan. And then the other thing is the schedule. It lightens up nicely over the second half. We've got some good matchups coming up. Broncos, not scary. Chargers next week, a little bit, but at least somebody's not going to have Hayward on them. Then Tampa, Carolina, Kansas City, Jacksonville, who knows how tough they'll be week 12. Oakland week 14 is nice. Texans week 15. There's good matchups coming up for this team. So I think that in deeper leagues, going after the Titans receivers, if you need help at receiver on the back end, I think it may pay some dividends. And again, you can get Corey Davis for a song right now. It's not like you need to go give up an important piece to get Corey Davis. You should be able to get him, you know, for not much. And I think it could really pay off. Moving over to running backs, Damian Williams, I think right now his value is extremely low. But if we look at him from a standpoint of opportunity, he's really only had, two games this year where he's been fully healthy. And in those two games, he's been the main guy. 66% of the snaps week one, 56% last week when he came back off of the injury. Now, that's significant in that those are the two high watermarks for snaps played on the season for the Chiefs. If you look at the 2 weeks where he missed, nobody got to 56% of the snaps. 54% for Darrell Williams week three is the next highest number. Shady McCoy has not played over 46% all year. That includes the games where Damian wasn't in there. So I think it's pretty clear to me that they view Damian Williams as the lead back, at least in terms of how often he's going to be on the field. And now let's look at a couple other things. This offense hasn't clicked to the max. It's been fine, but Tyreek Hill, as much as I despise his ass, is coming back. This is going to stress defenses in a way they haven't been stressed. Now, granted, they've been heavily stressed. Now it goes off the charts. Mahomes' ability to make throws from anywhere. Tyreek's whiteboard route ability, meaning he can go anywhere in the field and he can score from anywhere in the field. Obviously, Kelce creating huge problems in the middle of the field, and all these other speed skill guys, Watkins and Mecole and all these guys. My guy DeMarcus. When you throw all that at a defense and then you get Damian Williams isolated on linebackers, oh man, it's dangerous stuff. So right now, Damian Williams is probably a guy, you know, his owners are looking at him going, when are you going to do something? I sort of feel like it might happen soon. I love the idea of just going and lifting Damian Williams for a song off somebody right now. I'm not saying pay full freight. I'm not saying pay third round price tag or anything like that. But you know, for sure, I'm definitely looking at, you know, talking to the Damian Williams owners in my leagues. They're probably not winning. They're probably not in a good spot right now. And he's probably not somebody that they're holding on too tightly to. So I think definitely he's a guy to explore in trades. Similar kind of thing. Kerryon Johnson. Sort of turning the corner right now as we speak, right? And I think there's a lot of positives with Kerryon. We saw as they lightened the backfield roster, his carries went up, and C.J. Anderson's gone, and we've seen 75 and 70% snaps played over the last two games, and then he went into the bye. So he's sort of a off-the-beaten-path guy right now, but 26 rushes for 125 yards, 20 the game before, so we've seen the uptick we want. He's even had four targets over the last two games. He's caught all, he's caught three of them. He's got 39 yards receiving over that time. So clearly this guy's usage is on the upswing. And if we take a look at his schedule, you know, that's sort of where things, you know, aren't quite as good. Basically, you've got a guy with some really good out-of-division matchups and a couple really tough in-division matchups. So, you know, he is a little bit of a... You know, I think on some weeks he's going to be a light RB2, and then on some weeks he's going to be a really strong one. But really, right now, if you're trying to, you know, sort of shore up that RB2 spot, I'm very cool going with Kerryon Johnson and just sort of targeting him, seeing what I can get him for. Now, speaking of Johnsons, Duke Johnson, you know, obviously the production at this point is not what we want. And when I say production, I mean, I'm not talking about how well Duke's playing, because some of you may have saw this. I retweeted Ian Hartitz the other day. And Ian's great, by the way. You should be following him. He's at RotoWorld now. Dude just puts out tons of great stuff. I guess he's throwing out PFF ratings here. But number one in yards after contact is Duke Johnson. Number one in PFF's elusive rating metric. Obviously, those two things go together. He's number two in yards per touch, number three in yards per carry, and doesn't have more touches in a game. Doesn't have more than 10 touches in a game since week one. So, once again, we have a good argument that Bill O'Brien is a moron, but let's not get too knee-deep in that, and let's talk about Duke Johnson, because I think what's going to happen here is they're going to start playing him more, because the film backs up the data. Every time I watch Duke play, I say to myself, why does this guy not get the ball more? Guess what? I think this week is going to be one of these games where he starts getting the ball more. And we have plenty of matchups coming up that work for pass-catching running backs. And really, if you go down to the end of the year, Denver, Tennessee, Tampa for playoff matchups doesn't scare me at all. So I like the schedule going forward for the Texans as it relates to Duke. I think he's outplayed Carlos Hyde. I think they're going to continue to get Duke involved. And I think right now, sort of the point of this, is that he's probably not going to cost you much, because I think most Duke Johnson owners are just looking at the role. They're not looking at how well he's played. And, you know, the Texans, they're just going to continue to hone this thing as the season goes on. This team's going to be in the fight for the division title. I think it's really going to come down to the Colts and the Texans, the teams that are up there at the top now. And, you know, remember, these are two new players. So they're sort of playing both backs, sort of seeing which one works best in the offense. To me, it's clear, if you watch these games, they're better when Duke is in there. That should, even with Bill O'Brien, over time, that should come in. I think over time, and game flow is going to have something to do with it, but I think you're going to see Duke Johnson slowly kind of take this backfield over. So getting him on the cheap right now, I think could have a huge payoff for you come like week 10, 11. But here's the other thing. If you need a running back for this week and you make that deal, go ahead and play Duke Johnson, because I think he's got an excellent chance, and I mean an excellent chance, of having a big game against Kansas City, because that thing's going to be, you know, just on tilt all day. Okay. Next up is Kenyon Drake. This one is not fun, because who wants to trade for a Miami player? But if you are hurting in a PPR league at your RB2 spot, Kenyon Drake is a way to triage that situation. He's going to continue to get probably, I mean, what's he getting now? He's probably getting about five targets a week, something like that. But that number is going to start rising, I believe. He's had, over the last 3 weeks, he's had 17 targets. I think you will probably see a slight uptick in that, because I think his playing time is going to continue to rise. They're finally giving up on Ballage. They're going to get Mark Walton mixed in. And by the way, Walton's a really nice pickup in deep leagues off the waiver wire. But Drake should start getting, I think, more like 65% of the playing time consistently. And, you know, that's if you look at his numbers so far, that's about Yeah, but I think we're looking at about a 10% upgrade if that happens. And I think that'll pick up an extra target or so a week. He's going to start dropping the occasional touchdown. Don't get me wrong. Kenyon Drake is not going to be the skeleton key to your season. He's not going to unlock everything for you. But he will be able to hold down that RB2 spot in a PPR league. And right now you can get him pretty cheap. Not a guy I want starting for me necessarily, but if I'm looking at a really good team and I just need to figure out my RB2 spot, in a full PPR, Drake can probably get that done for you. Another guy who I like going after right now is Devin Singletary while he's on the bye before he gets back on the field. I'm not a huge fan of Singletary, but the bottom line is that the Bills are, and I think over the second half of the season, he could end up being a thing. So if you can add him right now as a throw-in in a deal, you know, like for nothing, I don't know. I think it's a good idea. Okay, that's going to do it for the receivers and the running backs. Let's talk. Let's just, you know, throw out a couple tight ends and quarterbacks out there, and then we'll get out the door. And speaking of tight ends, man, I mean, this is such a gut punch. And apologies to all my listeners, man. We've been waiting for Chris Herndon. We've been picking him up. And this is, you know, this really goes to, in my opinion, something that's really wrong with the NFL, which is these teams, whenever they can, they hide injuries. I mean, why can't they just tell us what's going on? Chris Herndon got hurt last week. A bunch of us made decisions about Chris Herndon based on him being healthy because we didn't know he was hurt. And he got hurt, gosh, 5 days ago. We're finding out about it now because this is the day the Jets have to tell us. It's such bullshit. Anyway, and same thing in preseason. They don't have to tell us, so they don't tell us. And really, even regular injury reports now. Everybody's taking the Belichick approach. He's got a leg. He's got a knee. You know, we don't find out what ligament. We don't get a real time frame unless they feel like telling us. The NFL really should do something about this. It's, in my opinion, it's bullshit. Make teams give out accurate injury reports when injuries occur, not when they are technically required to do it. It's just bullshit. Anyway, so Herndon is now week to week. Looks like he probably will not play this week, so that could create a need for some people. Let's just get into a couple of these guys who are buy lows at the tight end position. Jared Cook is one. I think a lot of Jared Cook owners are disappointed. I know I would be. But Teddy Bridgewater is showing signs of life. As I've been saying the last couple weeks, Cook exists inside that area of activity that where Teddy likes to throw the football. The routes that Cook is running are routes that Teddy will throw well. I see no reason why Cook shouldn't be a decent back-end tight end one the rest of the way. If you can get him on the cheap, I think it's a good move. T.J. Hockenson is another one. I know he's been inconsistent. He's had two good games and two absolute duds. Obviously, he left during the last good game because of the head injury. The head injury should be a thing of the past after the bye week. And look, this guy's, he's just flat good at football. And from the looks of it, Detroit is starting to, you know, you can sort of see they want to throw the ball a little bit more. So I think, generally speaking, things for Hockenson are going to get better going forward. I think you can start him every week the rest of the way. You'll have some big games. You'll have some disappointments. But overall, the production should be there. And then, you guys know I have to do this. You know I have to do it, right? OJ Howard. Now, look, this one is, it's the kind of thing we can talk about. But it's a lot harder to actually do, to actually sit there and pay to get your hands on OJ Howard. Doesn't feel right. Well, that's because it's not right. You don't want to go out there and pay for OJ Howard right now. There's just too good of a chance that what we've seen is what we're going to get. The thing is, Bruce Arians is a smart coach. And I think where we want to go right now, and you know, my apologies if I led any of you guys into a deep hole with OJ Howard. If it makes you feel better, I'm in that hole in a couple leagues too. But I think we want to stick with Bruce Arians being a good coach. Now, he's really, we've seen with Ronald Jones, Arians has given him the tough love. You know, he's not like, just because he makes some splash plays, he's not giving him the gig. He's saying, you need to do everything right before you get this. And it's close. That may happen soon. Similar things are going on with O.J. Howard. He's not being given anything. Arians clearly wants him to play a certain way. And when he gets what he wants, we'll probably get what we want. So I think the thing to do with O.J. Howard is not to sell him, but you probably don't want to play him at this point unless, you know, you just don't have any other options. But I like the idea of getting him on the very cheap like 10th round value, or as a throw in a trade where I can just sort of stash him on my bench. Because I have a feeling that at some point this season, this guy probably wakes up. But we, you know, I think we are at the point now, and I'm ready to take the loss on this. It's time to, in most situations, put him on our bench and wait. Now, maybe we'll find some matchups that work going forward. Maybe we'll find ways to figure out when is a good time to play him and not. But right now, I don't have a feel for it. But you're still talking about a mega talent. And now he's bargain basement. He's bottom of the barrel price-wise. And that's when we want to acquire these types of players. So, you know, the thing about, you know, getting guys when they're down at their low point, it never feels right. Very rarely does it feel right. Now, Robbie Anderson, as I spoke earlier, that's actually, if you know Robbie Anderson well, like I do, it does feel right to go get him right now. But with a guy like O.J. Howard, it's different because we've got the paradigm shift, the coaching shift, and all that stuff. So what you really want to do is just rely on the talent. We know he's an all-world talent. It's a situational thing. Don't go target O.J. Howard. But when you're talking trade, if a guy has Howard, you know, just throw him in the end of the deal. Or go up to a team and go, hey, what do you want for O.J. Howard right now? If they're saying, you know what, I can't stand the sight of this guy. Give me anything and he's yours. Like, these are the ways we want to get him right now. Just so we're putting the proper context in there. I'm not telling you that O.J. Howard's going to break out next week and he's going to be a stud going forward. We don't know that. Okay, let's talk about some quarterbacks, and then we'll get you guys out the door. I said 30 minutes. Looks like we're going to go over just a teensy bit, but I think overall we can call it a success. Okay, so just a couple of quarterbacks, and we're done. First guy I want to talk about is Kyler Murray. Slowly but surely, he's turning into the guy that we wanted him to be. Looked good last week, 93 rushing yards. That's an attention getter. But the really key thing with him is the schedule going forward. We've got some teams, I think, that will sort of line up and sort of help them. Not all of them, but some of them. I love this week's matchup with Atlanta. The Giants next week is a good one. I think games where he's on turf, so even the game against the Saints, because I think it's a throw-to-win kind of game, could be better than we think. The two division matchups with San Francisco are interesting ones. I think the first home game I like. The second one could be a little ugly. We also have Tampa. That's a good one. Pittsburgh's a good one. Cleveland's a good one. So there's a lot of matchups left for Kyler Murray that I feel good about. And obviously at this point, he's been a top 12 quarterback, but not, you know, it's interesting. He's been top 12, but it's almost been subtle. I think most of the people who reached for Kyler are sort of bummed out that they did it because they haven't gotten the whammy games they expected. I think those whammy games might be coming. And if you can get Kyler as a throw-in on the cheap in a sort of a QB swap as part of another deal, I like it. Now, I'm not going to go out and move like my RB2 to get Kyler Murray. Don't do anything silly. But if you can get him at the right price, I like it. Some other quarterbacks I like because their production, I think, is sort of depressed via game script, if you will. Jimmy G, to me, has actually... Now, there have been a couple sort of head-scratching throws, but other than that, he looks calm. He's throwing on time. He's pretty accurate. This offense is slowly coming together. Teams are going to start really trying to stop that run, and then I think the pass is going to come in, and they're going to be that two-handed team. I think Jimmy G on the cheap right now is a good move. Same kind of thing for Carson Wentz. The offense is going to come back. DeSean Jackson's coming back. The passing attempts are going to rise on a weekly basis, and I think Wentz is going to be a QB1 the rest of the way. On the ultra cheap, maybe in two QB leagues, even Sam Darnold, I think, is going to have a great second half. Talked about that quite a bit. He's going to get weapons back. Now, the Herndon thing, which I found out before I put Darnold down on my list, that is a bummer, and that'll certainly hurt Darnold this week. But it sounds like Herndon will be back either next week or maybe the week after that. And Herndon is not crucial for Darnold. The crucial guys... Well, he's one of them. Herndon is crucial, but you also have Crowder and Robbie Anderson. As long as he's got two out of three, I think he's fine. Crowder will help him in the middle of the field, and Crowder, quite frankly, gives him more defined throwing opportunities than Herndon does. So I'm still very much cool with Darnold as a bounce-back guy. You know, is it going to be this week that Darnold starts bouncing back? You know, I mean, that's debatable, but, you know, I'm not scared of home Dallas as a matchup. Next week, home New England is tough, and then Jacksonville is tough. But it's the second half that I've been talking about really ever since August. Miami, Giants, Redskins, Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins again. I mean, dear God, that's a wonderful 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-game run. Get in on that early. Get the Jets now, and you can enjoy it later. Another guy who I like as an ad because I think his value is depressed and it's going to come up is Aaron Rodgers. I like the schedule going forward. I think it's going to be a lot better. Here's the thing with Rodgers, though. I would add him now, ride him up into the trade deadline. When he's hot, deal him because his playoff matchups are like Bears-Vikings 14-15, and I don't like that at all. So Rodgers is sort of a tricky one. Anyway, those were just some ideas, nothing crazy. Just wanted to, you know, those are some guys I isolated that I'm going to be looking at in some trades that I'm going to be looking at today. Hopefully, maybe that gave you some good ideas. If anybody listening to the show has some other good ideas of some buy lows, some trade targets, throw them out at me on Twitter. And if you guys have some really good ideas, I'll retweet them to the whole crew. It's one of the cool things about this podcast. As we go on, I'm learning that some of you guys are really, really sharp. So please continue to share with me your good ideas on Twitter, and I will continue to share them with the rest of the class. So just barely went over 30 minutes. We're closing in on 32 right now. This was a bonus podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. When I have some energy on a Wednesday, I like to do this. And I didn't really have the energy today. But again, it was funny. I sort of put together my own little list, and it like hit me like, wait a minute. This is a podcast. I should just talk about this list. So there you have it. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I'll be back tomorrow with lineup rankings. Friday, Jimmy and I will be doing a podcast. Saturday, we'll have rankings updates, the DFS pod, and my article for WEEI. So we got lots more to come this week. And I'm really, you can probably hear it in my voice, even though I'm sick. I'm really looking forward to the rest of this today because I'm really going to turn my guns to DFS and probably going to just sort of sit there with the laptop and the couch, sipping some tea and making some lineups, which is going to be fun. So have a great rest of the Wednesday, folks, and lots of stuff coming for the rest of this week. Thank you for listening to the Rotobomb Podcast. If you have not left us a review, really helps out. I would appreciate it. If you have time to give us a vote and a review, that would be great. But go get them. I know everybody's got a lot of busy stuff today. Some of us have waiver pickups. The waiver wire is still posted on the homepage. If you didn't check it out, you can check it out now. And, you know, giddy up.